Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. I'll get into some NFL stuff from this week. Jared.
Yes.
Have you noticed who is coming on over the last few weeks? It's a team that you made fun of me for liking since the season started. And I made fun of myself for liking them.
Miami?
About 5 weeks ago, and now look.
No, I have not noticed. Why? Because in the same division, another team is
getting
pretty
good.
Have you
not noticed that here come the Miami Dolphins?
Okay.
Won five straight, Jared. Five in a row. 6-7, just one. Well, I guess two games behind the vaunted Buffalo Bills. Boy, that was a wild one last night, huh?
Three passes thrown by Mac Jones.
It was pretty funny as the game got started.
In a win.
The wind was crazy.
And they got a win.
I thought, watching the Manning cast with Eli and Peyton, and of course, Eli was giving Peyton all kinds of hell about, you know, at one point it was 17 runs and one pass, and Eli was like, Peyton, what are the chances that ever happened with you? You know good and well you'd been like audibling out and throwing it just
Omaha!
To throw.
Omaha!
Yeah, no matter what. No, but I thought it was really interesting when they were – Harris broke the long run in the first quarter for the first touchdown, like 64 yards. And as he was going, you could tell it was a touchdown. Peyton was like, "We're going to see how bad the wind is. They're going for two. That tells you how bad the wind is going that direction."
Yeah.
And they went for two, and then they just ran it in. It was unbelievable there for the first quarter and a half or so. And then the Bills kind of got wise a little bit to what was going on. But man, the Patriots. Patriots' demise didn't last long, huh? So we'll talk about the NFL. Arizona has a huge win this week where they can pretty well cinch up the West and then start kind of looking around the rest of the NFC to figure out how they can get that number one seed in the bye. Have our top five, bottom three as well. Go back to the college football weekend. Go back to what happened yesterday, and Norman Venables was announced as the new coach at Oklahoma. Thought he had some really energized, just the energy that he has is evident. I thought the President Joe Harris, in his introductory comments, took some veiled or maybe not so veiled shots at Lincoln Riley, which was, you know, got big applause, obviously, because everybody kind of figured out what he was doing. And so you talk about the staff, maybe that Venables is going to have to figure out who stays, who goes, who's coming in. Lots of rumors around the offensive coordinator, which I haven't seen anything official, but it feels pretty well official, just not announced yet. The college football playoff, we really didn't even get to that yesterday with so much stuff going on. Who's in? Other bowl games? Is the Heisman locked up? Five-county conference basketball tournament started yesterday over in Sentinel. We'll tell you the results there from yesterday, what the other first-round games are today. And then today is a day of remembrance in this country, and we'll go there first. As we get going, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That's 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. You can feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon Communications app. App has all things. With the radio stations here in Elk City, all three, KECO, Cool 94, and KADS. You got the Penny News in the app. Check out this week's edition of the Penny News online, thepennynews.com. Go pick it up. Free copy at your local newsstand, The Penny News. This is the last day for this one, as a new edition will hit the website tonight at midnight. It's thepennynews.com. You got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, Big Elks Tonight, Clinton. That'll be fun as the Red Tornadoes and Lady Reds get their season started against 2-0 Elkettes and the 1-1. Big Elks, Paragon TV. I think you can watch soundless video. I don't know. Five County. Just tune in and see what happens there on the front page. believe that's what's going on there today, at least. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com. You can find out what's there with the Skinny on Sports podcast. So if you miss the show entirely, go back and you can check it out that way. What's up, Jared?
Oh, not a lot. It's funny. My wife was writing a check this morning. She yells out, "What's the date?" So it's December 7th, the day that will live in infamy.
I'll look at you.
Yesterday.
Stole Franklin's
December 7th, 1941. A date which will live in infamy.
That's no doubt about that, as this is the day that the United States was catapulted into World War II with the Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor, that, as it normally did when America entered World Wars, flipped the script and allowed the good guys to end up coming out on top. This one would be years later, all the way to 1945. You know, it's one of those days, you know, you think November 22nd of 1963 is one. Obviously, September 11th, 2001 is one, and then December 7th, 1941 is another. There's just a certain dates that built the fabric of what this country is, and the gratitude that is owed to those guys that fell there, and then the guys that fell later, and the ones that survived, and the ones that made sure that the world stayed as free as possible. And more importantly, at least to us, that America remained the beacon of freedom and the beacon of hope all around the world, not just in the United States, all around the world was that place to look forward, look to. And you know, there's a lot of things going wrong in this country right now. And I would, you know, my feelings are it's because we're moving away from what was fought. Starting on this day 80 years ago, what was fought for and what it meant to be America. And to me, that's the biggest problem that this country's having right now, is getting away from those roots toward what was being fought.
Right.
When you look at the what was attempted. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it is one of those days. And the remembrance of the lives lost there at Pearl Harbor, and what that signified and what that began the long 4 years later when freedom was restored around the world. It's just one of those days where it's nice to take a stop, a pause, and remember all the lives lost, but all the bravery and the valor that came out of this day 80 years ago there on Oahu in Hawaii.
Absolutely, absolutely. As it's hard to believe 80 years, you know. I know, obviously, it's way before our time, but it was always something that was taught to us, and it always felt like it happened just, you know, years ago. But, yeah, this is a day that shaped America, for sure, and just, like you said, just reflecting what you said, or echoing what you said, just, you know, take time to reflect and remember, you know, not just that day, but, you know, all of our veterans out there.
There are there's a couple of days. September 11th is one where I'll, you know, give out a Twitter handle. On September 11th, Ari Fleischer, who was the press secretary for George Bush, mm-hmm. he kind of live tweets the day as it was happening then. Mm. Kind of let it just takes you through their day.
Right.
You know, starting down there in Florida at the school and everything that happened, right? Today happened a similar thing happens today, and actually it starts I mean all through the year, but it starts like 2 days ago for the buildup, and it's at USS Arizona. Mm. and that it's historic photos time as the day moves along. They'll have, you know, it'll tweet out, you know, timely events that were happening right at that time with a bunch of historical photos, a lot of which you probably have never seen. So that's an incredible follow throughout the day. If you're working and you haven't, you know, you can go check in like every couple hours and then go back, kind of scroll back through and see all the things that were going on at Pearl Harbor today, 80 years ago. It's a really cool follow once a year to see. And it feels like they add pictures every single year. There's more and more of those historical photos from you know, the different ships that ended up being sunk, the different ships that made it. It just different photos, and then, of course, a bunch from that day as well, the ones that are more iconic that you've seen throughout the course of history. But anyhow, it's a really cool kind of remembrance of this day. And I will say this. I was super duper proud when last night Wyatt said, "What is today?" And I said, "December 6th. I said, "Hey, do you know what happened on December 7th? 80 years ago?" He goes, "Pearl Harbor." I mean, without even missing a beat. It's like, hey, then maybe they're actually teaching this in school. Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of some of the other things that have been bandied about throughout the last
right.
year or so.
Right.
So that was really great to know that a fifth grader in this day and age, when you just say the date, he immediately just blurted out, "Pearl Harbor." I'm like, all right, you know what that was? Yeah, it's what started the war. Yeah, kind of, for us anyway.
Yeah.
So anyhow, remember those. And if you have, you know, there's still a few World War II veterans living around the area. If you happen to know them, you know, shake their hand or give them a call and thank them for what they did. It allows us to be sitting right here today doing what we're doing.
That's right.
Yeah. Five County basketball tournament started yesterday. Over in Sentinel. It's interesting. I like the way they do this.
We got to stress that, because I've had more than one person yesterday. People asked me yesterday, "Hey, you going to Arapahoe? Going to Arapahoe?"
Yeah, it's at Sentinel.
It's at Sentinel. It's supposed to be in Arapahoe this year, but because of the COVID thing last year, they canceled it. They're just going to keep it in line with whose turn it was. And it was Sentinel's turn last year, so that's why they get it this year. So I think there are some schedules out there that say Arapahoe. If I hadn't told my dad last night, he would have been in Arapahoe today.
Yeah.
Dad's in Sentinel. So I just, and someone else said something, "Hey, you going to be at Arapahoe?" And I kind of looked at him, "You mean Sentinel?" So anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. I was thinking, man, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people if they drive the, not that there's something wrong with Arapahoe, but they're going to go to an empty gym if they go to Arapahoe today.
Yeah, don't go there. Go to Sentinel. Yeah, it's interesting because everybody knows what the rotation is and whose year it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But with the COVID year, got pushed. Okay.
Yeah.
Pushed back. So you've got at Sentinel. There were four games yesterday. I really love how they do this, especially come Saturday. You know why?
Outside of playing small school basketball on a Saturday, why?
Because you have to win a game to get to Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
There's no participation 7th and 8th place game.
Right.
Like in virtually every other tournament. You actually have to win a game at some point to be able to play on Saturday. So that I like that. It's a little bit of a lose and you go home feel that'll be replicated in the playoffs later on down the line. So I really like that they force teams to win a game before they can play on Saturday. So yesterday, number one seed on the girls' side is Merritt. They put it on the Hammond JV 70-20. So Merritt moves into the semifinals on Thursday, where they will play Sentinel. Lady Bulldogs eked by Cheyenne Raiden 31-30. So it's Merritt Sentinel in one girls semifinal. Hammond JV and Cheyenne will play on Friday. So the winners will play Thursday. The losers will play Friday. So 4 o'clock Thursday, semifinal Merritt and Sentinel. On the other side, Friday at 4 o'clock. And the consolation bracket is Hammond's JV and Cheyenne Raiden. Now on the boys' side, a couple of pretty good games, looks like to me. Sentinel was able to get past Cheyenne Raiden 55-47. So the Bulldogs are into the semifinals on Thursday. They'll play the winner of today's game between Arapahoe Butler and Sweetwater. And then one of the best two games from yesterday for sure, Leedy and Merritt on the boys' side. And Merritt was able to win by 53-50 over Leedy. So Merritt will play Thursday at 8 o'clock against the Hammond and Canute winner. I went back and watched the end of that one to see if there was something I needed to record and kind of play. You know, if a big shot was hit in both the Sentinel Cheyenne Raiden girls and then this one. Didn't really happen that way, but it was a tie game. And actually, Merritt was down one. They got fouled. Justice makes two free throws. Then Merritt gets the ball back up one. And he shoots the front end of the one-and-one, misses. And, you know, Merritt's got all their players pulled back, not trying to get an over-the-back call on a rebound on a free throw and let Leedy go down and shoot free throws, right? And Leedy gets the rebound. Justice sneaks in, steals it, and lays it in kind of all in one motion to make it a three-point game with like 4.6 left. Leedy inbounds, goes the full length of the floor, and Puffenbarger has a great look on the right wing for three that just doesn't go, that would have sent it to overtime. So it went from poor execution on the Bison side, giving up the steal and the lay-in, to almost perfect execution in just over 4 seconds to get a great look for three that just, like I said, didn't go. And so Merritt wins 53-50. They'll play that Hammond Canute winner. Today, what do we got today? Jared, you got that right in front of you?
I have that in front of me. Canute and Leedy girls start things off at 4 o'clock, followed by the Canute boys taking on the Hammond boys at 5:20. And the later games are Arapahoe Butler girls taking on Sweetwater, and then the Arapahoe Butler boys will take on Sweetwater.
Game of the day. It's one of those first
two. You know, Hammond boys and Canute boys I was really high on, and then I guess Hammond's kind of taken a little step back.
Yeah, they started slow.
Canute, they look solid, like I said yesterday, against Merritt on Friday night. If they could play like that, they'll be tough to beat in that game. And Canute Leedy, I mean, that's the second time they've played so far early in this season. That's always interesting to me. Can adjustments be made on the Leedy side? So we'll see. I think, I think it's clear Arapahoe Butler and Sweetwater, it's kind of a mismatch. On paper, it is. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to. I'm from Canute, and those are one.
It felt like the Leedy girls up at Buffalo played one of their better games of the year so far. And the truth of it is, maybe it wasn't a great opponent, but right now for Coach Broadbent and those Leedy Bison, they're trying to figure out who they are. Yep. After losing, you know, the Danielson twins and some other players, and you know, Silas is playing in a different spot than maybe she has, and trying to figure, you know, it almost doesn't matter the opponent right now for them, in my mind. Because they're trying to figure out who they are first before you start, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so every game, you know, you feel like they may just kind of get better as the season rolls along because they get more acclimated to what they're doing this year in their new role. So that, to me, that one has the biggest potential to be a good one. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
With Leedy maybe getting a little bit better than they were the first time these two teams played. And maybe that same thing for Hammond on the boys' side. You know, they're still trying to figure things out. It's not what they thought it was going to be, dating back to the tragedy last year. So they're still working through things too, I'm sure, emotionally. And then on the floor, figuring out who goes where and how to replace what was there before. So, you know, that's another one. But Canute's been really good so far on the boys' side for the most part, game in, game out, pretty consistently. Good.
Yeah, the Hydro game, it is what it is. Hydro's number one for a reason. They played them close up until the end, and Hydro put them away. The Visai game, they were, you could talk about consistent. They were completely inconsistent in that game. So that's why I keep going back to Friday night. They play like that, they're going to be very tough to beat because everybody was consistent on the same page. I'm just keep an eye on them. If they can trajectory, you know, get better with each game as the season goes on, it could be a really dangerous Canute team because they got a really deep bench, really deep, talented bench.
Yeah, I think Thursday is when we really start ramping up and seeing some good ones.
Yes.
When you got, you know, Arapahoe Butler and Sentinel as on the boys' semifinal. Sentinel's the only team that's beaten Arapahoe so far this year. You know, that's
true.
That's a revenge there for the Indians, which is the only.
It's in
Sentinel's gym where that game happened earlier this season. And then Merritt and potentially Hammond or Canute. We both probably think it's Canute. You know, then the girls' side, Arapahoe and Canute could be a game. Arapahoe and Leedy could be the other, you know, one of those two.
Yeah, those
in the
semifinal girls. Games.
Yeah, and then see what Sentinel has for Merritt as of all the teams. Does it feel like to you that the biggest favorite in this is the Merritt girls?
Off the cuff answer, no.
Who do you think is more favorite?
I kind of lean Arapahoe.
Boys?
I mean, if we're saying the girls, Merritt and Arapahoe are on a collision course.
Okay.
Boys, Arapahoe boys. I mean, that Arapahoe boys and Canute game could be very fun on a Saturday night.
If they get there, it's got to beat Sentinel that already beat them.
Yeah. The reason I kind of lean Arapahoe girls because Merritt girls have played, what, three games now?
Mm-hmm.
Arapahoe a little bit more games. I kind of lean on that. Don't get me wrong. Merritt's very good. Ranked, what, 13 in 2A?
10.
They got up to 10? They're top 10?
Yep.
Yeah, top. I mean, that'd be real fun. Top 10 matchup between those teams. I'd just give this very slight edge to Arapahoe right now, based only on the fact they played more games. Try not to be disrespectful to Merrick.
Do you want to make a burrito bet?
Yes.
Okay, we're making it.
Yes. We haven't done that in a while.
It's maybe the easiest burrito I've ever won.
Now, is the bet off the table if those two don't match up in the finals? I mean, is it just the bet gone?
No. If Arapahoe beats Sentinel in the finals, you win. If Merritt beats Canute in the finals, I win.
What if Merritt loses to Sentinel is what I'm saying?
You win. Arapahoe has to win the tournament.
Okay.
We're talking about winning the tournament.
The whole thing. Gotcha.
That's right. It was an exciting day yesterday in Norman, Oklahoma. It's amazing what the change in attitude in a week of the Sooner Nation, of the Sooner fans, from the despair of losing Lincoln Riley. It was funny to see that week go on because it was a sad day a week ago Sunday. And as things started to come out and the different dealings that were happening, turned to anger throughout toward the end of the week.
It was
anger,
like the stages of grief.
It really was. Then it's acceptance as you started to figure out who might be the head coach, and then, you know, jubilation yesterday. And here is just a quick snippet, I think, of why Sooner fans are so ecstatic at the hire of Brent Venables.
And also taking it through one of the biggest transition in the history of college football, taking Oklahoma from the Big 12 to the SEC, you've got your guy to take you on this journey.
It was one of the bigger ovations. I think the biggest of the day is when he talked about, you know, we're going to play fast on offense, but we're also going to have suffocating defense, which is what Venables and any stop he's made along the way as a defense coordinator in college football has been the case. You know, as much as OU fans were frustrated at the end of his tenure here, you'd kill to have that defense back in, say, 2018, and there might be an eighth national championship banner hanging from the press box at Owen Field, because there was just a different standard to live up to then versus now. You know, if you weren't inside the top 10 or 15 at that point, it was, oh my God, the sky's falling. Now they'd be throwing parades in the streets if you end up with a top 15 defense at Oklahoma. And so, you know, it was different expectations back then than now. And, you know, that was back when the Big 12 played offense versus what we saw throughout most of the year here in this conference. So, you know, what were your – we didn't really kind of get, but your thoughts on the hiring of Brent Venables and what that means for Oklahoma football moving forward?
Well, I mean, it means a lot of things as far as moving – and you mentioned the SEC. I think that was a direction Castiglione was going in, finding the guy that's going to take you to that transition, you know, and through that interview process, because I guess it was announced that pretty much all the defensive coaches will not be retained. And some people were texting me or calling me yesterday freaking out about that fact, because there are some good guys on there. There's some OU guys on there. But I said, listen, this is all about moving forward to the SEC. And through that interview process of Joe talking to Venables, you know, Venables laid down a plan, said, this is my direction. This is how I would do it. This is who I would hire. This is the type of guys I would go get, whether it be coaches and recruiting. So, okay, here are the keys. It's your show. So my point is that I'm telling everybody who's freaking out about the, you know, turnover in the staff, trust the process, because the process is to build this program in Venables' vision that will be best suited for the SEC. That's going to take a couple seasons to get there. So I think that's a main reason why Brent was hired, because he can bring back that high-quality defense, that top 10 defense year in, year out, that can sustain the rigors of the SEC.
Yeah, one thing that's not going to make that as easy is what happened after all the fun was had in Norman, and that is five-star defensive tackle Gabe Brownlow-Dindy flipped. Right. From Oklahoma to Texas A&M. It's a huge loss. You know, I know everybody's so enthralled about or upset about, you know, some of the offensive recruits that came in with all the stars and didn't really get much done. I have a stat. I got to find this. with those, you know, that receiving core that is now, if everybody stays in the portal, gone. With Theo Weiss, Jaden Hazelwood, and Trajan Bridges, all five stars, all gone. But comparing their production for their career versus Ryan Broyles' 2010, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
I have to dig that up on Twitter. But you don't want to lose guys like this. I mean, the guy is the number four overall recruit in the country, according to ESPN's rankings. He's a guy that Oklahoma has sorely missed, that type of guy on the defensive line. Derek Moore was another guy like that. He was a defensive end recruit, a commit for a long, long time from the Baltimore area. You know, he's another top 300 guy in ESPN, and the linebacker Kobe McKenzie, who committed to Texas yesterday or the day before. You know, those are guys that defensively you were starting to see being recruited to Oklahoma for the first time in a while.
Right.
And those things are going to hurt, at least in the short term. But that's
the key right there, in the short term.
In the short term. But you're also talking about a guy that was named the recruiter of the year a time or two at Clemson in Brent Venables, who is now your head coach. And I would assume that with the focus on the defense and with the way that, you know, his track record speaks for itself, some of these things iron themselves out in later classes. Maybe not right now. But I think I think you see it later. Question on the text line. Did we lose Calvin Thibodeau, and is that the primary reason for OU losing the commit of Dindy? I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's exactly right. But here's the thing. And listen, Thibodeau was a part of that. Jamar Cain was a part of that as far as the resurgence on the recruiting side of Oklahoma's defense. And it stings. But do you retain a coach that you don't think is as good as one you are going to hire just to save one kid? I don't believe that's the case.
It's a bigger picture.
I think it is too. Yeah. And really.
And once you think those guys that have decommitted, the defensive guys, if, you know, I saw what, as soon as yesterday's press conference was over, it was like an hour or two later, you see Brent in Holmes with pictures with recruits and stuff. My point is, if Venables thought, I want this guy, I'm going to keep this guy, I'm going to go get, you know what I mean? But I listen, there's different guys that fit in different other guys' system.
Yeah, and I know.
I guess my question is, did he try to keep these guys, or was it like, you know what? Best of luck to you, but you're not going to.
You absolutely don't turn down Dindy.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what your system is. You figure out a place. And Dakota's right on this. Another text was Kobe McKenzie, the linebacker that just flipped to Texas. He's going to allow Venables a visit in the next couple days. And listen.
If somebody tweeted it out, said, listen, they flipped once, you can flip them
well,
back.
Yeah, it was Mark Mangino who tweeted that out. Or at least that's what it is. I don't know if it was the real Mark, but that's who tweeted that out. And I heard the Morning Animals talking about it, acting like it was Mark, the real Mark Mangino. Think about McKenzie, and I think Dakota makes a great point here. It's a guy that can flip back for sure, and here's why. You're talking about the very first guy to commit in the 2022 class, and it was so early that he considered reclassifying to the 21 to get in last year. So this is a guy that has deep-rooted affection for OU, and maybe he just needs to hear the plan, how he'll be used, because it sure seems like that was a rash decision from him.
Yeah, it's the thing we got to keep in mind. These are kids.
Sure.
Rash decisions, absolutely.
Yeah. But the problem is the timeline on all this stuff is so shrunk because of that December signing day. It's literally a week from tomorrow.
Right.
So you talk about hit the ground running. Yeah, I mean, Venables has a lot of time, or not much time, to make up a lot of ground on some of these kids. And the truth of it is, a majority of them, he's not going to be able to. But when you start seeing the effects of him, we'll start and what he can piece back together. You know, the 23 class early on was number one in the nation by leaps and bounds. It's disintegrated to nothing. Even the in-state tight end Luke Haas from Bixby has stepped away from his commitment. So you're talking about starting from scratch. And if this is and most people say recruiting is a 2 to 3 year process, you know, he's starting at least a year behind on those next guys, much less these guys that he's trying to piecemeal a class together between next Wednesday and then the first Wednesday in February.
And OU fans more than anybody should realize the value of the transfer portal. It's a two-way street, and I think Venable's kind of hinted at that. I know he was asked about Caleb Williams, and he said, yeah, the portal's a real thing. I think what he was actually saying, too, was it can help us, too, with immediate needs to fill gaps and stuff like that.
And you also have to wonder, I mean, we're talking about it from the negative side of what's leaving Oklahoma's class because Riley left, right?
Right.
You also have to consider what might be the positive because Venables is coming in. You're talking about the kid from Hayes, Kansas.
Right.
He actually tweeted, hey, something coming up, I think Thursday at 3. You know, is that, you know, it's funny because nobody even has any, not even on the radar for Oklahoma, because that's not somebody the former staff
exactly
was recruiting. You know who else the former staff didn't recruit from Kansas in a similar situation, it looks like, athletically with this guy? Isaiah Simmons. Remember him? He was only a first-round pick from Clemson to the Cardinals, who is now starting to show out in the NFL. So I think one of those poignant things out of what Venables said yesterday was when he was asked about his recruiting philosophy. And it was a lot less what somebody's running in a big camp in a timed with no pads on, and a lot more, can he play football? And I think part of the, you know, the lack of toughness and the softness that was, you know, permeating throughout Lincoln Riley's, especially last couple of years, mm-hmm. once he got his guys, quote unquote, on campus, they were soft.
Yes.
A lot softer group than what he inherited his first couple years from who Bob Stoops was recruiting.
Exactly.
And so I
think that was one of the first things to point out to me on that very Sunday that was announced, because I was going all hyperbole and going crazy and go, well, this is going to set back the program by 10 years. And somebody pointed that out to me, said he inherited Bob Stoops' team, and then now this cycle's gone through. Now he's got these soft kids. Isn't that something that we've all been screaming at the TV? That's a soft tackle. That was a soft block. That was soft. You're being soft.
Texas Tech East, no more.
Exactly.
Because that's kind of where it was, where it was headed. And as much as I think you let the current state cloud your opinion of things, there's no doubt. You look at the numbers, and every team since 2017 that Lincoln Riley was the head coach of, everyone got worse than the one before it. That's just the truth. And it's not just offense, not just defense. It's the whole gamut. I mean, even the offenses were not becoming, or were not continuing at that level. Now, sure, you went from number one pick to number one pick to second round quarterback who is now establishing himself in Jalen Hurts, a player that can play quarterback in the NFL, be a starter on an NFL team. And you went to a freshman that's never played with Rattler. Early season woes that got better, and then of course what happened this year. So, you know, there's reasons for it, but I do think at the end of the day the philosophy is going to be different. I think the chances that guys like Zaven Collins, just a name you can think of, but guys like that slip through the cracks and end up at Tulsa, I think are less. And you know, there's been an outcry, I think, for years and years since Bob got here and was able to start recruiting a little bit more nationally again, like Barry was able to back in the 80s. Since that time, I think there's been a sense a little bit that Oklahoma's getting guys that are talented from other places but don't love the university as much as some of these guys that maybe don't have the stars that are closer to home.
Yes.
And I think there's a chance that that's right. But at the same time, just because he really works hard doesn't mean you take so-and-so over Michael Irvin. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
there's an ebb and a flow there for sure.
You want the player to commit to the university, not to the coach.
And I think that's what we're seeing. There are certain guys in this 2022, 2023 class that were committed, even guys that are on campus, committed more to Lincoln Riley than they did to OU.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't know how bad a deal it is for them not to be on the team.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with you 100%. 100%. Because they wouldn't want to run through a wall for the university, because it might hurt their draft stock if they get hurt or something like that. You know, but Venables has an eye for the kid that's going to run through the wall for you. That's a player. And not, you know, more about his play on field than his next NIL deal.
Yeah, Dakota's killing it on the text line because this is another thing that he mentioned. And he mentioned about if we offer you, it means something instead of just firing them out there all willy-nilly. The last three classes, Oklahoma has offered around 550 scholarships. At Clemson, Dabo, 250. Hmm. So it's, you know, more coveted. And also, I think you have a chance to do your due diligence and make sure, not just from a tape, not just from what they run, but actually meeting them and getting to know them. Because the more you know, the more committed that person is, like you say, to the university instead of the coach, the less chance that the transfer portal has to be such a big thing.
Right.
And then the last thing, and this is exactly it.
Getting great text messages personally.
Are you? Yeah. And then I think another thing that he did, and this is exactly right, and it compares to Patty Gasso and what her program is.
Yes.
And that is with you got to have the faith component that he spoke absolutely freely about. And I think that it works hand in hand with a lot of that stuff. You know the faith aspect of things. And the commitment that it takes to have faith in this world also can blend in to the commitment that a person has to the program that they're signing with.
I like what you said too about the college experience and having fun and you know getting your classwork done and then being successful on the field. So take care of all the other stuff. The success will come. The success will be there. It kind of falls into my philosophy that I tell my kid. Before every practice, every game, no matter what sport, I always say, listen to your coach, hustle, and have fun. Because if you do those three things, you're going to win.
Yep, it's going to be.
It felt like kind of like that same philosophy when he was talking about stuff like that.
No doubt about it. All right, so the college football playoff.
By the way, real quick before we move away from college football announcements, did you see the Lincoln Riley announcement with the mini band and the cheerleaders?
Yes.
It looked like that What's Up With That skit from Saturday Night Live.
There's a chance.
I kept expecting Lindsey Buckingham to be sitting in the corner not able to talk.
There's a chance there was more people at the airport to meet Brent Venables than there was at the last home game USC played.
Ridiculous. One last joke that you hear why what the tipping point was to get Riley to USC.
What?
Well, you know, he was upset that the OU Daily was spying on his practices. USC said, not only will no one watch your practices, they won't even watch your games.
Yeah. That's the way it's been going out there right now. All right, college football playoff. Yesterday we talked. There really was no other decision to make as far as the four teams because of Notre Dame's loss to Cincinnati. Now, here's the question I have. Do losses not count anymore? Or do losses just not count for SEC teams? Or do losses just not count for Alabama?
I it's a great question.
Now there's no doubt they have the greatest win. Yes. The SEC title game on a neutral field against Georgia is the best win. But does that mean they just automatically get to jump for 4-1 over Michigan?
It's all of the perception of a tougher schedule than another.
But it's a huge deal this year.
Yeah.
Now listen, wait. What was the best division in football this year? Was it not the Big Ten East?
Yeah. You had three there.
Three in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a majority of the season.
Listen, it's always going to be hard to buck that trend of the SEC, especially the SEC West. It's just going to be hard. It's hard. That perception of that being the toughest division is going to be hard to overcome if you're – and I know what you're saying. I get it, but –
Oh, look, look here. They snuck A&M into the bottom of the college football playoff rankings just so that Alabama's loss would be a loss to a ranked team.
Yeah.
What was Alabama's best win outside of Georgia?
Alabama's best win.
Outside of Georgia.
Just reaching here.
Arkansas?
Maybe Arkansas.
Ole Miss. Yeah, it was definitely Ole Miss.
Yeah.
What about Georgia? What was their best win?
Arkansas?
Or Clemson?
As far as Georgia's overall performance schedule-wise, that was their best performance. That started off so hot against that hot Arkansas team. They made Arkansas look like Arkansas.
Yeah.
Clemson, maybe. I mean, Clemson was down. They didn't make their –
they ended up number 19.
Yeah.
Clemson did. If is the – here, I guess here's my question. Is the only reason the rankings are in this order because they don't want a rematch of the SEC title game in the first round?
Sure.
Then that's ridiculous.
That's what it
is. Then that's absolutely ridiculous.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That's dumb.
Just setting it up for a national title game.
Mm-hmm.
Although I really like Michigan's chances.
Michigan should be number one.
Yeah. I agree there.
Michigan should be number one.
Totally agree there.
They're not, but they should be.
But I really like their chances in the semifinal. Now, title game, who knows? But they seem, we talk about team peaking at the right time. They appear to be it.
No kidding. I mean, if there's anybody that wishes the playoffs were this week.
You took it out of my mouth.
Holy
yes,
cow.
Exactly.
Because they are.
They are rolling. They are rolling.
I mean, back to back, getting that monkey off your back against Ohio State. And who didn't, after OSU Baylor and the way that game went, who didn't have it in their mind of, man, Michigan, they're in the same spot as Oklahoma State just was.
Yeah.
Defeating their rival for the first time in years, having to get back up to play this game in a title game against a good defensive team that has a little bit of, you know, all that.
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah.
And Michigan just destroyed Iowa.
What if the Big Ten was played at 11 a.m.?
Yeah, you
know. I mean,
you
what if they're
know.
Like, hey, guys, see what happened to OSU?
Yeah, I mean, that
you
there's
can't
no doubt.
Let that happen here, guys.
As we talked about it last week, how similar those two teams' plight was.
Yeah.
With the wins that they got in their rivalry game the week before the conference titles games. Yeah, Michigan, you know who Michigan feels like a lot to me, even though their offense isn't based the same way? They feel a lot like those OU teams that got rolling at the end, and now they have a month off. The difference is Michigan's offense isn't based on timing and precision like some of those OU teams that were either in the BCS title game or even into the playoff era having to take that month off and try to find that rhythm again. Because I think – especially the playoff, the hardest game for Oklahoma to win with that system was always going to be the first one. If they did, then the other team only has 6 days or 8 days to prepare. Now watch out. It makes, you know, OU look more like a week-to-week team that we always see throughout the regular season. But I think Michigan, the difference is they're not rhythm-based on offense. They're smash-you-in-the-mouth based on offense.
You know what else would really remind me Michigan of OU, of those OU teams? You know what else would?
What's
if they that? Have a key injury announced between now and then.
Or somebody can't play because of grades or
every
weed.
Every year there was that.
Yeah.
Every year.
Don't smoke weed right now, Michigan players. They're going to test you. Just ask Ronnie Perkins and Ramondre.
Exactly.
Bridges.
Good stuff.
Wrapping it up on a Tuesday with some NFL talk. Well, that game last night was just nuts. But you know what? To me, it showed the brilliance of one Bill Belichick in the way that he can prepare week to week for different things. And it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't look at a weather forecast 48 hours out and see what was coming and just completely scrap everything he had in mind and just decide, okay, we're just going to play power football, run the ball, and not make mistakes. And I think at the end of the day, when you look back at everything Belichick has done, his brilliance is in his simplicity, and that is he is risk-averse without playing scared.
Right.
You know, there's no sense, you know, that when Buffalo would punt right to left on the screen, all his guy was doing back there was pointing at the ball so that his guys would get out of the way. He had no intention of catching it because what does 5 yards or 10 yards matter? You know what I'm saying? It was all about get out of the way, don't let it hit you, and then we can get the ball and we can run. And it was just – it was a masterpiece. The dude there's no sense in the wind fluttering a pass up and getting picked off and leading to a field goal that would have ended up getting a beat with the Bills able to kick field goals at the end. And he made them score touchdowns, and the 2-point conversion was the reason. Just he's just brilliant, man. Yeah. As much as he's a pain in the butt, and nobody wants to deal with him. Just for a football mind, it doesn't get any better than what Belichick is. And he consistently, more than any coach I've ever seen in my life, consistently gives his guys the best chance to win for what he does, whether it be managing the clock, doing what he did last night, lots of other things. I mean, how many coaches now would have led a rookie with, what, 2 minutes left or under 2 minutes left in a Super Bowl tie game, let a rookie quarterback just go for it? Right. And that started the legend of Tom Brady. What do you think the chances are right now that we see those two get to go at it, match wits in the Super Bowl?
Like this year?
This year.
Oh, I'd give that that's about a 65% chance.
That's pretty high.
For me. But listen, you're going to get a better chance out of me with the Kansas Cities of the world, right? And Kansas City rolling. We don't even know about Tampa Bay. You just mentioned Arizona at the top of the show. Dallas is getting healthier, but sure be fun. I think there's a chance. I mean, I think both those teams are set up for deep playoff runs, but man, it'd be one heck of a storyline for sure.
Oh, that would be the most fun 2 weeks. All right, there may just be a week this year.
No, but it is.
Is it two?
Weeks.
Okay, good.
The Super Bowl is a week later because of the 17th.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So that's good because you'd want. I would eat up every bit of that hype. Cardinals play the Rams this week with a chance to really put the West on lock. That would be basically a four-game lead. They'd be up three, but then they'd have the tie break in case of a tie. So the Cardinals would be West champs with a win this week against the Rams, and then they could kind of start looking across the rest of the league, or of the conference, I guess, as far as how that goes. Now, real quick, top five, bottom three.
Top five. Five. Oh, man, you're getting real quick at me here. Top five. I'm going to go without looking at records. Let's go with I'm going to do it. I'm going to put Kansas City back on top. I'm going to Kansas City, New England, Arizona, Dallas. Oh, wow. I don't know. It's obvious. I just can't think of it.
Tampa or Green Bay, one of the two. It's got to be.
I'm going with Green Bay. Green Bay.
I'm going to have Green Bay 1. Arizona 2. New England 3. Kansas City 4. Tampa 5. With Dallas just outside that top five.
I mentioned Dallas getting healthier.
Dallas is getting healthier.
They're getting healthier. That means they're getting more dangerous.
I think there's a couple of teams. I think Dallas. I think Baltimore. I'm not sold on Tennessee. Hell, I think the Colts are the best team in that division. It's just they got off to such a crappy start that they're not going to be able to catch up. Dallas and Baltimore are the two. Getting healthier at the right time. Bottom three, right quick.
Jags, Jets. And I desperately want.
Don't say the Lions. They aren't.
No, they won. So they're out. Jags, the Jets, and Giants?
I'm going to go. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Houston. I think it's Houston.
Yeah, no Giants. Houston.
Yeah, Houston's terrible.
Yeah.
I think Houston's literally the worst team. Then the Jags, then the Jets. And congrats to the Lions getting out. They're not one of the worst three teams. Their record just said they were.
Yeah.
And then they finally got a win over the Vikings. Dan Campbell has that. For a 0-10 and one team, they play hard.
Yes, they do.
All right, everybody.
He'll be around next year.
Oh, for sure. No. There's like a culture there, even though they're not winning.
Yeah.
All right, games today, 5 County. Canute and Leedy girls first. Canute, Hammond boys second. Then Arapahoe, Butler boys and girls and boys are the rest of the first round matchups. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.